This episode of the Ageless and Awesome podcast is sponsored by the Radiant Reset Hormone Detox Guide for Perimenopausal Women. As a woman in the modern world, our hormones are taking a battering. They're impacted by the food we eat, the toxins we're exposed to, such as when we eat out of plastic takeaway containers, or even worse, reheat food in them. Please don't do this. If you're handling FPOS receipts, filling the car with fuel, eating non-organic produce that hasn't been washed effectively, plus so much more things add to our toxic load every day. Even though our bodies are designed to effectively manage toxins, they haven't evolved as quickly as our toxic world has, unfortunately. So our body does need support. Symptoms such as stubborn weight gain, fatigue, disrupted periods, irritability, and gut health issues can be a sign that you'd benefit from a gentle detox. And that's why I developed the Radiant Reset Hormone Detox Guide for Perimenopausal Women. This free guide has an abundance of information to get you started on your very own DIY detox. And if you'd like to upgrade to VIP, it's only $47 for a limited time. I used to sell this program for $247. The upgrade gives you the recipes, including plenty of plant-based options, the meal planner, the shopping list template, the video workshop, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more now. Take care of your hormones. They are a critical part of your health as a woman. Hi, I'm Susie Garden, and this is the Ageless and Awesome podcast. I'm an age-defying naturopath and clinical nutritionist, and I'm here to bust myths around women's health and aging so that you can be ageless and awesome in your 40s, 50s, and beyond. The Ageless and Awesome podcast is dedicated to helping women through perimenopause and menopause with great health, a positive mindset, and outrageous confidence. Hit subscribe or follow now, and let's get started. Hello, gorgeous one, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ageless and Awesome podcast. This week's episode, I'm doing in honor of Endometriosis Awareness Month, which is March, and there's a lot of information about endometriosis in the press at the moment, and I thought I would add to this because what is not being spoken about is endometriosis in perimenopause or menopause. So I'm going to come at it from that point of view. And I'm also going to give you some information at the end of the episode about a petition that's happening in Australia at the moment to lobby the government for more support for women that have endo. So you know what? The thing is that endo impacts 1 in 7 women. 1 in 7. It's a lot. And I have a lot of patients with endometriosis. And it is a horrible, horrible condition. And a lot of people don't really know a lot about it. And in fact, even it's only been probably the last 5 to 7 years that there's been a better understanding of what this condition actually is. Because of course, as always, women kind of get the short end of the stick when it comes to medical research. And often, because the symptoms are around menstruation, a lot of the time women can be dismissed if they have very painful periods of, oh, it's just part of life. Oh, just use a heat pack. You know, we'll put you on the pill and that'll stop you having periods and therefore you won't have any pain. But that's not actually addressing the problem. And it was only really in these last 5 to 7, maybe 10 years that it's actually been realized that endometriosis has quite a substantial inflammatory component. It's not just about hormones, although it is sensitive particularly to estrogen. So let's get into it. Let's get into it. So firstly, what is endometriosis? So endometriosis, or endo as I'll refer to it, because it's a pretty complicated name to say, it's a complex condition. It is a complex condition that causes endometrial tissue. So this is tissue that lines the uterus. It causes this tissue to grow in other places that obviously it's not supposed to. And this tissue can be in the fallopian tubes, on the ovaries, behind the uterus, in the abdominal cavity. So that can be around the bowel, for example. around the bladder. In fact, it's actually been found in every part of the body, including the skin, the joints, lungs, and brain. So it is a big deal. Now, it is pretty serious disease if you're finding it in those other body parts, but still it can happen. And people don't know about it. You know, I remember when I was a theatre nurse in the 90s, I would see patients having their laparoscopies for endometriosis all the time. And they'd, you know, the doctors would just go in with a laparoscopy and they'd diathermy or laser the chocolate cysts and get rid of the endometrial tissue that they could see. But, you know, there can be complications of that, of adhesions. So that's when the bowel can stick to other parts of the bowel, or other tissues can stick to the bowel, like the ovaries, for example, the fallopian tubes. And that causes problems in itself with the gut. And I see lots of women with endo and IBS or IBS-like symptoms. There can be a very strong correlation between gut health and endometriosis. And this is really important as well, because we all know now how important having good gut health is to our overall health and well-being. So let me go back to, you know, what is this condition? So it's when we have this endometrial tissue growing where it's not supposed to be. And what happens then is with our menstrual cycle, when it comes to our times of days of flow, the tissue in all of those other areas of the body, this endometrial tissue also flows. And that causes problems. And it also develops, as I mentioned before, these chocolate cysts. So chocolate cysts are, I know they sound nice, kind of, but yeah, that's like this dark brown fluid-filled cysts that are a characteristic sign of this endometriosis, of significant endometriosis disease. And as I mentioned before, we know with regard to endo, it used to be thought that it was about hormones. But now we know there's actually a pretty considerable inflammatory process that goes on with this condition. And that's why I see a lot of women with it, I think, is because I definitely get, I mean, as you probably know, if you've been listening to me for a while, my program, The Glow Protocol, is all about lowering inflammation in the body. And so I've had a number of women go through with endo that have had quite a considerable improvement in their symptoms, just because we're lowering the inflammation. So the body's not quite so reactive to the inflammation. Therefore, the endometriosis symptoms can improve. But, you know, can you have endo in perimenopause? Well, yes, you can. It can be difficult to tell if you're in peri or just having endometriosis symptoms, though, because a lot of the symptoms are the same. You know, women can experience in peri and in endo heavy periods, irregular periods, gut issues, constipation, urinary tract issues, pain during sex, fatigue, you know, all of these things. So sometimes it can be difficult to know, are the symptoms because of this erratic estrogen that's happening in peri, or is it actually endo? And I have a number of women that are my patients that actually did not get diagnosed with endo until their 40s. And I suspect it's some of that surging of estrogen that may have exacerbated their menstrual symptoms and therefore drove them to then go and get investigated and get diagnosed. Because diagnosis is really difficult. Takes on average, and I've heard a few different numbers, but I'm getting my data mainly from Endometriosis Australia, but it takes on average around 6.5 years to get diagnosed. And this is one of the reasons there's this petitioning the government to get some better Medicare support so that there are better, longer consultations for women to get properly assessed rather than the, you know, the 8-minute consultations that generally we're limited to. So, and because, you know, it is a complex condition, the tissue is found in so many different places. So a lot of these symptoms can really be difficult to pinpoint down to endo, because they're going to present differently in different women depending on where that tissue is, if that makes sense. And even women that have had a hysterectomy and actually had their uterus removed, but their ovaries are still in place, you can still, because that endometrial lining can be anywhere else in the body, you can still have signs and symptoms of endometriosis, even though you may not be having a period as such that where the flow is coming out of the body, that flow will just be internal. And as you can imagine, it's still going to cause quite a number of issues. So let's talk a little bit more about perimenopause and endo. So as you know, if you've listened to the pod before, during peri, and especially in the early stages of perimenopause where the hormones are a little more unstable, so we get that drop away pretty quickly of the progesterone, but the estrogen ebbs and flows. So you can get these surges and then these dips. And when you get a disease like endo that's estrogen sensitive, these fluctuations in estrogen can really cause this periodic kind of worsening of endo symptoms. And in fact, researchers have found that the impact of perimenopause is most pronounced for people with advanced stages of endo. So stage 3 and 4 is where they're in peri, they're really going to feel it because of those increased levels and surges of estrogen. So, you know, I guess the good news out of all of this is as you kind of reach that menopause kind of time of life and the estrogen levels get very low, many, many women will experience an improvement or even a complete relief of their endo symptoms. So that is awesome. However, for a small number, and the experts kind of feel it's around 2 to 5% of women who suffer from endo will continue to experience endo symptoms after menopause. Women with endo often enter peri earlier than other women, and they're at greater risk of developing health issues related to low estrogen. So there's a few things that go on. So it is important to get diagnosed if you're having symptoms of endo. And often, you know, the pain that women are experiencing is it's so much more dramatic than period pain. Like it's sensations as if the uterus is being pulled out of the body. It's pain that's going down the legs. It's, you know, really, really debilitating, can barely stand up, can barely get out of bed kind of pain. And Nurofen isn't, or ibuprofen isn't cutting it. And yeah, there's virtually no kind of pain relief that you can get over the counter that's going to cut it. So it is really important to be assessed. And if your doctor says everything is fine and you haven't yet had a laparoscopy or you don't feel like you've had enough investigation, just keep pushing for it. Ask for a referral to a gynecologist or someone that actually is a specialist in the area so that you can be properly assessed and diagnosed and therefore get the appropriate treatment. There's actually no cure, just to be clear. It is when I'm talking about treatment, it's more about symptom management. Because as I mentioned before, when the doctors go in and can clear out the chocolate cysts and some of that endometrial tissue, it does tend to grow back. It does tend to grow back. But it's still worthwhile getting it removed to get some relief from symptoms. And you want to get some good treatment that helps you have the good quality of life that you want and not have your whole life being dictated to what, you know, part of your menstrual cycle you are in. And this is another kind of issue when it comes to treatment protocols is because everybody experiences this condition differently, there's no actual universal protocol at the moment. Often it's things like hormonal contraceptives. If women are fertile, sometimes for some women, menopausal hormone therapy might be a great option for them. But of course, just any general pain relief measurements, mindfulness strategies can really help bring you into the present moment, can really calm down that stress response, which may help with pain, may help with hormone balance as well. Things like acupuncture, TENS machines, also heat, warm baths, all that sort of stuff can be helpful, and maybe the combination of those things can be helpful. But also, as I mentioned before, doing things that will reduce inflammation in the body super important. So as a naturopath and nutritionist, I tend to use things like high dose turmeric, and it's got to be in a really bioavailable form. So just having lots of turmeric as food, unfortunately, as much as I'm very much about food as medicine, particularly in the GLOW protocol and with metabolic balance, the turmeric that you get as food, you would have to eat a lot to get the amount of the anti-inflammatory compounds in turmeric to actually make a difference. So having a supplemental turmeric in a high dose, in a good quality form, that's mandatory as far as I'm concerned for my endo clients. Also magnesium can be extremely helpful. Again, it's got to be in the right form. If you're having magnesium oxide, for example, that's probably just going to act as a laxative. And most women with endo don't need any help in that department, because usually one of the other signs of endo is diarrhea with your period. So you want to have a good quality magnesium that is not just going to give you diarrhea, that's actually going to get absorbed into the body and help relax the uterus so that things are less painful. They're probably the two major natural products I use. Also, zinc can be really important for women with endo to help as well. Those three things there. And knowing the kind of foods that are going to work well in your body and reduce inflammation, also super important. Supporting the liver to help with your hormone balance. So just Google cruciferous foods. They're things like your kale, cauliflower, cabbage, those sorts of sulfur-based veggies. Like usually when you smell them, they smell like sulfur. If you've ever opened a box of broccoli, all you can smell is sulfur, and that's cruciferous veggies. If you have thyroid issues, you really need to cook cruciferous veggies very well, because they contain a little chemical, these goitrogens, which are not great for the thyroid if you have a thyroid issue. So yeah, supporting the liver can be very helpful with your hormone balance. So they're the kind of things that can really help. We do use herbs, a number of herbal medicines, which are really fantastic for women with endo, and that would be something that I would address in a consultation. It's not something I'm really going to kind of give a blanket advice about here, because that we do really love to tailor our herbal medicine to each individual client as herbalists. But those other supplements are pretty easy to get, and you really can't go wrong with them. Obviously, if you're on medication, you do need to check, particularly with turmeric. There are some contraindications there. But yeah, so that would be the main thing. So with regard to endo and perimenopause, I think it's really important that if you're in your 40s and you're experiencing changes to your menstrual cycle, and particularly with a heavier periods, like really heavy periods, clots, pain, all of that sort of stuff that I mentioned before, very much not just accept it as perimenopause, because it may very well be endometriosis. So I hope that's helped. Please feel free to share this podcast, maybe take a screenshot and pop it in your own stories, or share it, because the more awareness we can have around this condition, the better off women will be. And I'm also going to put the link to the petition in the show notes. And if you feel inclined to sign, to lobby the government to provide more funding to Medicare so that women can have longer consultations and get better access to services, that would be awesome. All right, so I will be back on Thursday. Enjoy your week. Get ready for International Women's Day on Friday, and my podcast on Thursday will be very much about that. Thanks so much for joining me. I will see you on Thursday. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Ageless and Awesome podcast. If you liked today's episode, please make sure you click the little plus button if you're on Apple Podcasts, or the follow button if you're on Spotify, so that you can get each new episode delivered to you every single week. If you like free stuff, and who doesn't, then head over to susiegarden.com and grab my 8 essential age-defying secrets every woman over 40 should know right now. Or if you'd like to continue the discussion, head over to Instagram and DM me at Susie Garden Wellness. I'd love to connect with you.